What a wonderful time to appreciate our veterans. Thank you, veterans, for your service. Well, this morning I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles or phone or tablets or whatever you use to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, it's the Old Testament back there, 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20 is where our passage will be. And while you're turning there, let me ask you this question. Do you ever catch yourself wishing for a wrinkle-free, worry-free life? I mean, we all do, let's be honest. Have you ever met anyone, though, with a wrinkle-free or worry-free life? I mean, it's pretty much a law of nature that no one makes it through this life without taking some punches in one form or another. No one makes it to the finish line without having made some bad decisions in their life along the way at one form or one point or another. I know sometimes, a lot of times, we're tempted to believe that these dense endings sometimes that we make as a result of our bad choices sometimes disqualify us from the work of God. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. Well, you might be surprised to learn that God can do some of His best work through our hurts and brokenness that we've been through. It's just the kind of beautiful and redemptive work that only He can do. What a beautiful time this morning to celebrate our veterans and those still serving today. Amen? I mean, we're very fortunate for the veterans that we do have and still those serving that attend Prayer of Faith in our church family that they're still worshiping today with us. Amen? And all of them pretty much are in physically good shape. For the most part, they're not missing any limbs or no holes in the head or things like that. They're still able to function pretty much because we all know that you don't have to be in the military or fighting a war to become a wounded soldier in the Lord's army, right? Many of us today, we have our own battlefields in which we've received our share of wounds while still maintaining that roll call on Sunday mornings to worship Him. Here's an interesting fact. When you think about it, one of the things that our country is learning now is that people who are wounded in war are wounded pretty much forever. More than 1.6 American service members who have been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan in Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. Since way back in December of 2008, over 30,000 have come back from the combat zone with visible wounds and a range of permanent disabilities. In addition, some 25 to 40% have less visible wounds. And more than 6,000 Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans have been either left partially or totally disabled, either from physical or psychological wounds that they were received during their time of service over there. And that statistic doesn't even include those who have served in the Vietnam War, along with their families who have felt the aftershocks, perhaps, of war at home, maybe witnessing a loved one suffer and doing everything they can to help. But on the plus side, the U.S. troops who die outright on the battlefield today are fewer. There's not as many because of the protective equipment that we're developing, along with the better medical care that they're receiving and the quick access they have to it. But yet, as more American soldiers are being wounded, their injuries seem to become more severe and complex, even if it's not on the physical side. Take Lance Corporal Tyler Southern. He was 19 when an improvised explosive device, or an IED, blew up underneath him in Afghanistan. The blast tore both of his legs off and one arm and left one of his arms mangled. He was taken to an intermediate battlefield medical facility where when he was taken there, he flatlined because of his wounds were so severe that he received. He was bleeding so heavily that they couldn't keep blood in him, and blood just kept pouring out of him. So as soon as he came off the helicopter, they rushed him immediately into an operating room. Doctors had to slash open the side of his chest and reached in and had to clamp off all of his veins leading to the lower part of his body. This was done in an effort to try to squeeze the little remaining blood that he had left up to his brain to keep him alive. After he was stabilized, he was transferred to the Walter Reed Medical Center's Amputee Center. From there, he faced years of rehab after enduring dozens of surgeries to clean and repair his limbs. But yet he manages to make light of his situation. Can you imagine that? He's handed out T-shirts, matter of fact, to his fellow Marines that say, "I had a blast." Now, that's kind of making light of the situation after stepping on an IED. Take a look to see what his demeanor's like now.
He said, "Tyler, it's your mama." I said, "Hey, mama," in my groggy voice. And, you know, the doctors were kind of astounded at that. So they left and let my mom explain it to me. Before you look down. I'm like, "Well, okay. You know, you were in an accident. You're missing your right arm. Your left arm's pretty messed up. And your legs are gone." My plan was the Navy throughout life. I want to say junior or senior year of high school, my buddy was going to the Marine Corps and had to go pick something up from the recruiter's office. And he convinced me that my life wasn't for the Navy. I needed to be a Marine. I've seen all the great things this country's about, and I know there's a lot of people that could but can't. And a lot of people that are able to but won't. And I was ready to stand for those people. It was May 5th of 2010. Our mission was this compound 8 kilometers out from our patrol base. We were told there were up to 6 Taliban held up in it. So we were prepared for that. We were prepared to get in there and probably have a firefight within a compound. As we got to the corner, we turned the corner, I turkey peeked the doorway, I stepped on 10 pounds of homemade explosives. Initially, Dr. Howard's energy is what helped save my life. Doc Howard came in, jumped on the bed, and was, "How you doing today?" And I'm like, "I'm good." In the grand scheme of things, he put my arm back together. He ended up taking it from a catcher's mitt to almost a hand. It looks relatively hand-like. I found out after surgery in recovery that I couldn't go outside to see the fireworks. So I had to just go back to my room and watch a movie on the 4th of July. And that day was actually, I threw in the towel and, you know, on Independence Day decided that independence was something that was never going to be mine again. And basically washed my hands of that the following day and got back to being motivated. So while I was at the hospital, I was doing patient visits. I was going up meeting all the freshly wounded guys. The doctors can tell them all day they're going to be fine, but someone who's been through it can tell them better. I refused to leave anyone questioning if they were going to be all right or not. Wounded Wear is a charity out of Chesapeake, Virginia that eventually wants to spread nationwide. Started by wounded Navy SEAL Jason Redman, we specialize in adaptive clothing and reintegrative exercises. So I threw my hat in with them immediately upon retiring. Like, he said they wanted me. They didn't have any amputees on staff, you know, so I was very quick to sign up with them because I knew they understood. We are out to help warriors rediscover the hero within.
He makes me a better person, and being around his upbeat, positive attitude on a day-to-day basis makes me not worry about the small things, you know? And just look at the big picture overall, and you don't think about things the same way anymore, and so I'm just grateful.
I never actually realized that I'm affecting people's lives. I'm gonna stay me because of things like this. So now I try to live my life to make the fallen proud and to one day be welcomed into their ranks as an equal. Mother at the...
Wow, just wow. You know, like Tyler Southern, soldiers who have served our country have returned either wounded physically or mentally or emotionally. So today, as we do take time to recognize our military and those who have served and those who are still serving, we do honor you, and just know that. And know also that God can do some of his best work through our hurts and brokenness that we have. A beautiful and redemptive work that he does in our lives, who give us reason to praise his holy name. Amen. So before we begin our worship in the Word today, let's just do that. Please join me in shouting out, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen. Well, let's look this morning in our passage found in 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings 20, and I'll begin with verse 35 at this odd story. "Now a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to another, by the word of the Lord," in other words, God told him, he says, "Please strike me." But the man refused to strike him. Then he said, "Because you have not listened to the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you depart from me, a lion will kill you." And as soon as he had departed from him, which I don't think I necessarily would have left him, a lion found him and killed him. This is a crazy story. Look at verse 37. "Then another man said, 'Please strike me.' And the man struck him, wounding him." Notice the last part of that verse, wounding him. Some versions say inflicting a wound or hit him or hurt him. "So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the highway and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes." And then one more verse, the last verse, chapter 43. "So the king of Israel went to the house sullen and vexed and came to Samaria." One translation says he was under heavy conviction. And that's interesting. So I want to speak to you today, as we celebrated our Veterans Appreciation Sunday, about wounds of purpose. This is one of those wild stories in the Old Testament that really doesn't have much lead up to it. It almost seems just random and strange and in the middle of everything, and God doesn't really explain it that well. He rather leaves it up for his people who read it to come up with a message out of it. And to me, it's strange because you have things that really you don't understand about this text. For example, why is a prophet saying to a man with a sword to cut him? I don't know, because it's a serious wound that this guy inflicted upon him, and it required bandages and first aid and such. And he said, "Strike me." I mean, God told him to tell a soldier, assuming that he's a soldier because he has a sword, to strike him. And the Bible said that the man looked at him, and I mean, what if somebody came up to you and said, "Hit me"? Just hit me. I remember back when my mom used to whip me, and my dad also, they used the tool of choice back in that day, which was a belt. And they would say this little line to me as they were whipping me, saying, which I kind of thought was cruel and unusual punishment, because they'd say something like this, "You asked for it." Y'all remember those words? Some of y'all do. Or, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." How about that one? And I would always come back with a quick line like, "I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm really asking you not to do this. Please forgive me." Which they said, "No. When you didn't do what I told you to do, then you asked for this. And so now you're going to get it." And so this prophet, he's standing there and he's saying, "Strike me. Hit me. Thus saith the Lord. Hit me with that sword. Hit me hard. Cut me." And of course, the first guy, he kind of freaks out a bit. He doesn't do it. I mean, it's just so random, because this whole story is just in 9 verses of this chapter. And when he didn't do it, the guy turns around and says, "Well, I just released a lion to kill you for not doing that, for not obeying what the Lord told you to do." So a lion came and killed him. And while the lion's still chewing on this guy over here, he goes up to another man and he says, "Strike me." And I like this guy in here, because he's like, "Okay, where? It doesn't matter where. Where did he hit you at?" I mean, I'm sure that all of us have someone in our life that probably would like to cause us harm. I mean, or someone in our lives that would be glad to hit us in some form or fashion. If you don't believe me, just watch the news. You see it every day, somebody doing crazy things that people report about to other people. So the second guy, the prophet asks him, he says, I'm going to cut you real bad, so get ready. And you have no idea what I can do to you, because I believe he was thinking to himself, he says, I know what happened to the last guy that you told to do this, and so now you're going to get cut real good if you really want it. And the story is just really amazing because it can teach you a couple of things about it if you look at it. When you see things in the Bible and your life, then there's always lessons to be learned. Amen? Especially in things sometimes you don't quite understand why they're in the Bible. I mean, in life, you're going to have things that come at you and that are going to hit you, and things that you don't understand. As well as in the Bible, there's some things that just seem random that you come across when you read that you don't understand. But the first thing I would like us to understand today in these scriptures is that about the story about the prophet found another man real quick. Notice that. The first guy said no, the prophet found another man real quick. Meaning this to me, that I get out of it. If we don't have an appetite for our call and our place and what God tells you to do, if we don't love what God has given to us, if we don't love the family that God has given us, if we don't love the husband or the wife or the life that God has given us, if we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God brings our way and the open doors that He provides for us and the time that God says to you, I want you to do something for me, if we decide not to do that, then please learn, if anything, from this story that God always has somebody else who He can raise up. He may have to get him off drugs. He may have to pull him out from living under the bridge. He may have to get him out of prison. But just when you think that we're all that and we think that we're so big and powerful and smart and talented, and then God says, if you don't obey me, then don't ever forget that I have another man or I have another woman always waiting in the wings, and I'm going to get my job done. I mean, God would like to use you. He'd like to use me, but He doesn't always have to use us. He can always use somebody else. And it's all dependent upon this. Will you obey me? Even when you don't understand God's instructions. In our passage today that we read, says that the man hit him. And notice the text also said it wounded him. He's visibly wounded. The prophet's bleeding, had to put some bandages on his body, and then he went from that place immediately to wait on a spot in the road, if you read on in those verses, because God told him that a king of Israel, King Ahab, was coming with a chariot along with his entourage down that road. And now that he'd been wounded, and now that he had been hurt, and now that he'd been attacked and had blood-stained bandages, he has something about him, and he immediately feels like, now I'm ready to give the message to the king, to the most powerful man in the nation, because now I'm qualified. The prophet knew that he had a message from God to King Ahab, but he didn't feel qualified just to walk up there and give it to him. He thought he needed to be wounded. He thought he needed to be hurt for the king to notice him, to stop the entourage. Because until he had gone through some suffering or some pain and maybe some tears and even bleeding and some hurting, he had the word of God. He knew he needed to give it to the king, but still himself said, I don't feel qualified yet. I don't feel quite prepared. I'm not really positioned to give the king God's word, because if it would have just been him by the side of the road, the king would have just kept on riding if he'd not seen the prophet with all these bandages on him and bleeding. And then he thought he would just pass on by. But he thought that these wounds at least will catch the king's attention. And so the prophet surmised then that maybe perhaps the king will stop and see what's going on. Perhaps then he'll listen to me. And so many times in our lives we think it's our talent. We think that it will bring us before great people. And that certainly helps, by all means. I mean, I'm not against your education and all that, and we need all of it we can get, trust me. But when it really comes down to it, the messages that reach people the most and touch people the most are not the ones that you just come here and maybe stir you up, or that are in the Bible, or that are telling facts about the Bible. All that is very important, trust me. I'm not negating that in any way. But it's really when the times that we have gone through something, that we've been wounded, and the hurts and the cuts and the setbacks that we've received, that gives us the authority, that we begin to get that authority, because there's a weightiness when somebody has went through something. Yes, we want a perfect life. We don't want any wounds. We don't want our hurts. We all want to have beautiful families, no issues, nothing to ever hit our lives. But when it does come, a lot of times we soak and we sour and we fail to understand what's going on. And so this prophet, he said, if that's what it takes, with the wounds and the hurts, for me to be able to stop this king, I'll do it. For me to help somebody else and get them to listen to me because of what I've been through, and let my wounds do their speaking. Because God uses wounds with a purpose. God uses an effective wound. God uses even the bruises that we receive. God uses our life wounds. Because why? Your wounds carry a message with them. That men and women in a hurting world who are hurting, I mean, I don't care how hard they are. I don't care how wicked they are. I don't care how drunk they are. I don't care how high they are. I don't care how many lovers they have. Because when they encounter someone who's speaking a word from the Lord, and that someone has been qualified from their own wounds and their own failures and their own heart being broken and their own bleeding in some area of their life, there's something about that. Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 1:21. He says, God is pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, the foolishness of that message is that he will use any way he can to get it across, even if it's your wounds. God needs the wounded. He needs the hurt. He needs the bruised people to bring that message. Now, some may say, well, I have a valid excuse. I didn't have a good dad, so I'm never going to be one either. Well, you can look at it that way. Or you can say, I've been wounded, and God will take my hurts, my bruises, my wound, my cut, and just because maybe I didn't have a good father or mother in my life doesn't mean that I'm going to pass on that generational curse to my children, to be the same way, to abandon their family. But God can actually use what they meant for evil. Joseph said it concerning his own family in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about the present result, to keep many people alive. And that means that you can transfer a blessing. And you can be even more a better attentive mother or a father just because of the things that you have been through in your life. The wounds can be used to heal, not destroy. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. How bad I've been hurt in my life. No, what you don't understand is that now that you have been hurt, now that you have been attacked, and now that you have been wounded, you can be highly effective in areas of leadership, along with many areas in the kingdom of God. The very thing that we think that disqualifies us from being any leadership in the kingdom of God, at church or wherever it is that we think leaders have to be perfect. that their lives have to be perfect. And somebody that I listen to or take any advice from or consider any importance at all to give you the time of day to listen to, we think that they need to have it all together. When in reality, sometimes you just need to get around people who have been wounded, who have been hurt, and have made it through things. Because some things that you go through will never be the same again. You know, there's nothing that you can do to change it back to the way it used to be. And it's hard. It's really hard. But God says, I can use that wound. I can use that bruise. I can use that attack. I can use that divorce. I can use this or that. Listen, if God allows the wound, the hurt, the attack, the bloodshed to come to your life, to your family, for the sword to actually hit upon you, then it's only so that He can give you more ability to communicate to somebody else that you went through it and that you made it. Whether it's a tragedy in your life or whether it's the loss of a loved one or maybe the death of a relative that just came too soon, sooner than what you expected, God says, I can use that wound in your life. I can use that to get my message across to many powerful people, to many people who are hardened. Their hearts have been hardened by the world. Those people who nobody else can reach but the wounded. Sometimes we think if we've been wounded, we can't lead. That we're a broken crayon, more or less, that we can't color anymore. But in case you've forgotten, broken crayons still color. They may not be pretty. They may not be eloquent. They may have a few scuff marks from the other crayons. They may have some rough ends. They may even be missing their label. Sometimes we look at God's command and say, you know, I can't really worship with the joy in my heart that I should have because I've had such a hellish week. Can't really help others because I've been wounded and now I'm hurt. So if I'm hurting, how in the world am I going to help others? I'm so messed up that I can't get myself out of this depression that I've been going through. So how in the world is God going to use me? Because that's how He does. We've all been shot at one time or another. Not physically necessarily, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So just throw away those excuses. We've all been cut or shot at one time or another. And when I say that, you have an instance that is coming to your mind immediately. And sure, there's times when we feel like, you know, I'm the only one that's ever had this happen to me. But you're not. You're not the only one who's been wounded. You know, children can wound you. A marriage can wound you. Family members can wound you. Co-workers can wound you. Job situations that you're in can wound you and devastate you. Addictions that we have can wound you. Here's one. Church people can wound you. And here's a big one, which our military are probably familiar with. Friendly fire can wound you. Because people that you were so close with and so tight with, and then something happened. And now there's this terrible wound, and it just doesn't seem to heal. Whether you keep picking the scab or whether it's just so deep you don't really take care of it. But what I'm saying to you is that you may never get over it. But you will get through it if you do what God tells you to do. And some of you say, well, I just want God to take it away. Some scars will never go away. Scars tell a story. Some wounds will never go away. It may never go away, but you will get through it, and you will stand victorious, and you have a choice to make. You don't choose what sword comes at you. That just happens in life. You don't choose what wound will come into your life. Some things just hit and you don't understand it and you never will. But you do choose your response. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 16. There's a woman mentioned there by the name of Zerah. And the reason she's mentioned is because she's David's sister. How many of y'all knew King David had a sister? Actually had two of them, Zerah and Abigail. But this one's name is Zerah. And the sons of Zerah were Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. And it was so important for you to understand this because Scripture clearly tells us who this woman was. Her name was Zerah, which in Hebrew means my wounds. My wounds. Now, the reason that's so important is that something may have happened to her for her to receive that name, although we're not told how or why. According to the Bible, people were named after events that happened in their life. You may remember reading in the Bible about when they lost the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and the Bible said that the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. And then you have Eli, who's the high priest. He's sitting on the side of a fence, and he's 98 years old. Why he was doing that, I don't know. But when he heard this news, he fell backwards and he broke his neck. And that family went into crisis because now he's dead. And the Bible said at that time his daughter-in-law was giving birth. And she named her child Ichabod. And Ichabod means the glory has gone. The glory has departed. The glory has been taken out of this family because of the pain that they were experiencing in that generation. And they decided to pass the name on to the next generation. So they called him Ichabod. Well, here's the miracle of Zerah, David's sister, which means my wounds. They may have been visible wounds she had. I don't know. Something may have happened in her childhood. We don't know. Maybe she was injured as a child in some way, kind of like Mephibosheth was. But something amazing happened to this woman, Zerah, because her offspring, she did not transfer any of that, of her issues that she had, onto their life. Because when you look at who her three children were, it's amazing. It tells you there was Joab. Joab became a four-star general under the army of Israel, under King David. Joab was the son of a wound. Every war that Israel was involved with under the leadership of Joab, it was the greatest time that Israel ever had under the expansion of Israel. Second son she had was called Abishai. What did he do? You can read about him in 2 Samuel 21, verses 16 and 17. Because you see, by now, David was an old man, and he was the only giant killer ever recorded to kill a giant in the Bible. The only one. But one day, when David got out there on the battlefield as an old man, there was a giant that came out of the bushes. This giant had six toes and six fingers. 24 digits. And he went after David to kill him. He was a descendant of Goliath. And he was coming after David because he knew that David had killed Goliath. But then Abishai, the son of a wound, fights the giant, and he gets between David and the giant, and he kills the giant. And so actually Abishai, out of the three brothers, was known as the greatest because there was one time when Abishai raised a spear and fought against 300 enemies and killed them all with a spear. So that's a pretty bad dude. And of course there's the third son. His name was Asahel. And what do they say about him in Scripture? Not much, but the part that you can find about him is he was the fastest runner in all of Israel. He could run faster than anybody, and that made him very skilled at chasing down his enemies. The Bible says that when he ran so fast that the wheat didn't even move. So you have a woman who has wounds. Her name means my wounds, and she's carried them all her life. But instead of passing those wounds of bitterness and pain and depression and addiction and curses and just bondage and low self-esteem and no belief in themselves and no confidence in themselves, she raises three champions in her household with her wounds. One became a 4-star general, one became a giant killer, and the other became the fastest in his field. So don't tell me that you cannot be effective in the kingdom of God. Sure, you may have been wounded. Whatever or however you've been wounded, you can still raise champions for Jesus Christ if you will believe. If you'll believe that he can use your wounds of purpose to bring about something good. And so my question to you this morning is this: what will your wounds produce? Will they produce bitterness? Will you just get so mad at God at what he's allowed to happen in your life that you're just through with him, you're through with church, you're through with his people? I'm just done with you. You're dead to me. Will they produce unbelief? At one time in your life, you were so staunch and so strong in the word, you just lapped it up every second you got. Something happened to you, and you just pretty much tossed your Bible aside and said, I'm done. Will they produce rebellion in your life? Will they produce excuses? Will they produce resentment? When you do read the Bible, you'll find a guy in there named Paul, Apostle Paul. He had it all. He had intellect. He had education. He was gifted. He was a real intellectual. And he said, yet I don't glory in any of that. He said, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my wounds. Paul was beaten with rods. He was stoned to death. He was beaten with cat o' nine tails. He was tied up. He was tortured. He was snake bitten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned and he was left to dead and he was scarred and he was wounded. And yet when he said, God, I just wish you'd take this pain away. I'm trying to do the best I can for your glory. God says, I'm never going to take it away. You'll never get over it. But you will get through it. As a matter of fact, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength will be made perfect through your wounds, because I'm going to give you grace, even though you're going to take hit after hit after hit. You know, when you read that, I want God to use me just as you want God to use you. But I'm not going to be like that prophet of the Bible. I'm not going to go up and ask God, God, strike me. I'm not going to get out of the. I'm not going to get out in the next lightning storm and say, strike me, God, so I can walk around funny and make me preach real good and so people will listen to me. I'm not going to do that. Yes, every one of you in here have wounds. Maybe you have bandages that hide it more nicely so people can't see. But you have wounds. And through God's beautiful and redemptive work that only He can do, it can give you wounds of purpose in your life. And so as we come to a close today, would you just raise up your hand and say, God, here's my wounds. Here's my hurts. Here's my blood. Here's my sweat. Here's my tears. Here's my tossing and turning. And here's my worry. Here's my fear. Here's my depression. Here's my sadness. Here's my wounds. Here's my hurt. Would you just use it, Father, for your glory? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving me grace that is sufficient for me. For one day I know I will see you face to face in a glorified body. But use me. Thank you. Please join me as we bow in prayer. Father, at times we feel wounded. We feel betrayed. We feel brokenhearted. And we sometimes wonder if we can fully recover from the deep hurt that we feel inside of us. Thank you that you, at least of anybody, know that we've been through and the struggles that we still carry. Help us to forgive. Help us to let it go so that we know that we can move forward in you in peace and freedom. We pray for those who have hurt us right now, Father. That's hard to do, but we do. And we ask for your power to work mightily within their lives. And we leave them in your hands. And we find comfort and strength in doing that through your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you understand all that we've faced, that you see that we go through every day, and that we know that you care. Thank you, Father, for your healing and for your grace and for your hope that you give us. Thank you that you've set us free and will not waste the pain that we have carried within us, but that you'll use it to reach others who perhaps are hurting. Father, we look forward for a greater good and a greater purpose that you have in our life, that you'll use our wounds of purpose to be effective in reaching others, to draw them to you. And so, Father, we love you. We need you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen.